Okay, Sarah. Got to have a serious conversation.
I'm here for you.
We're opening our first Airbnbs together.
We are.
So we need to knock it out of the park.
Yes.
I'm going to admit, my last Airbnbs, there were some things with my cleaning that I needed some help with. Also known as, I could never find the correct stainless steel cleaner. Mm. I was always toggling between brands that were on sale, like, you know, floor cleaners, bathroom cleaners. This time, I know you're the cleaning goddess, the guru.
Thank you.
It's going to, you know, it's a new year. I need to step up my game. And I think the cleaning is obviously that we have to knock that out of the park. Every single guest. What are we going to use?
I got you. So you know that I had a long career in the hospitality storied career in the hospitality industry in New York City, from Irish pubs to 5-star luxury hotels. And it doesn't matter what supply closet I was in, they were always Zepp products.
Okay.
So they've been around for 80 years. They are loved in the commercial industry. So it was a no-brainer when I was starting my own Airbnb business that I would bring these products to my Airbnbs. We don't have a lot of time as hosts to turn over the spaces. So the product has to work, and it has to work right the first time.
Right.
And they've got things from the stainless steel cleaners,
yes,
to the air neutralizers. They don't just cover up the smell, but they will neutralize
not
the smell.
Not offensive?
It's not offensive.
Okay.
To floor cleaners, to upholstery. I mean, I'm telling you, all we have to do is buy all the products.
Okay.
Put them in the supply closet.
Done.
And we're going to be good to go.
All right. But where do we buy these products?
Literally anywhere. We've got the Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Amazon. Like they're everywhere you shop. So I just want our listeners to know that Zepp products are Thanks for Visiting approved.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every successful short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, this dynamic duo has welcomed more than 2,000 guests from 25 countries, earning them over $500,000 and garnering them over 650 five-star reviews. Now they're ready to share creative ways for your listing to stand out, to serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry, or Annette and Sarah will share stories about their own experiences so you can implement actionable improvements to your own rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Here are your hosts, Annette and Sarah.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Thanks for Visiting. I am one of your hosts, Sarah Karakayan.
And I am Annette Grant. And together we are
Thanks for Visiting. All right. It's my favorite time. It's time for STR Share Sunday. Annette, who are we sharing today?
Ooh, everyone is special. But This one is a little closer to us. She is from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
She is a part of our co-hosting coaching program. And she actually has two handles that we want you to follow on Instagram. The first is at Rust and Found, RustandFound. And that is Becky's personal feed. And then Sarah, where can they follow her Airbnb feed?
Yeah, so her listing is at 1920 Grand Dame. And I know Becky is working on her second Airbnb as this goes live. She may have already closed by now. Did you already mention that we're actually going to stay? We're going to do a sponsored, what are we calling them? Sponsored sleepovers.
Sponsored sleepovers. So if anybody wants us to, you know, to sponsor a sleepover, we would love to audit your listing.
Right.
Maybe record an episode or two.
Which I think we're going to do
in the dwelling
with Becky because she took our co-hosting coaching program.
Yep.
Our first inaugural program. But anyway,
Becky is a star because if you guys, when you look at these feeds, which you always should, always follow them and like a bunch of their photos, but she has done an amazing job. Number one, designing.
She's a star designer.
Yeah, she's a star designer. But the usage of her places, I know she's done a ton of photo shoots, very creative with that. And she's done a great job highlighting that on her feed.
Yes.
And Becky's been very open to letting people use her space for that, which I think is genius.
Yeah, she's a star. So if you are on Instagram, check her out. You can also then check out her listing from her Instagram account because she is a savvy Airbnb host. And
something else we want to share though is something that I think a lot of hosts don't anticipate going into this is she's getting, instead of just sharing her space and living her dream, she gets to, she's a designer. She loves Rust and Found. That's her,
right.
her handle.
Yeah.
She gets to find these objects and repurpose them in her Airbnb because obviously your personal residence, you can only do so much. So this is like her showroom of sorts for her design also. And we love that about Becky.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's one of the reasons I started getting into Airbnb because I wanted my own hotels. I wanted my own place to decorate and to have my own customer service.
It's a common theme.
Yes. So anyway.
Give her a follow.
Yes.
Give her all the hearts. And then don't forget to hashtag us and tag us so you can be next on our STR Share Sunday.
Yeah, so we'll share you on our Instagram feed, but more importantly, we'll share you right here on the podcast. We have thousands of listeners from all over the world tuning in each and every week. We want to share you next. Okay, let's get to this episode. Listeners, we're really excited today. I don't know if you can hear the smile on our face, but we have new, fancy, extra professional equipment.
Yes, we do.
I mean, Annette's been wearing her headset for like days now.
I have not plugged into anything. I actually want to start wearing it in my car. I might look weird, but I'm going to own it. And we kind of feel like Britney Spears.
Yeah.
We got to get the dance moves
down. The 16-year-old in me is really excited.
Yes. But not as excited as we are about our guest that's on today.
So listeners, I'm going to introduce our guest soon here, but I'm a little ashamed of ourselves because you know how like OCD and crazy I am about my systems and about my audits and about cleanliness. And in my audits, I have like checklists like, are the batteries in the smoke alarm and the CO detector, like are they there? Is the fire extinguisher, is it good to go? But like, I feel like that's just, I know it's just the tip of the iceberg when we're talking about safety. And safety is so important. You are welcoming human beings into properties that you're managing and you become responsible for their lives. And so it goes beyond cleanliness and amenities and standing out on, you know, whatever platform you're on. And so we feel so strongly about that we are going to be having this guest as a repeat guest from here on out, as long as he'll have us, as long as he'll come back and chat with us. He has so much to say. Justin is Director of Safety and Certification Programs at Breezeway. Breezeway is a software company based in Boston, Massachusetts that makes it easier to manage property care and maintenance operations, which you know I love. Their mobile solution helps property managers and owners around the world coordinate cleaning and maintenance tasks, improving quality and ensuring the job gets done right. Justin specifically focuses on the operations side, helping property managers and owners maintain the safety of vacation rental properties. An international vacation rental safety expert, Justin was the first to elevate awareness of safety in vacation rentals and now short-term rentals. Prior to Breezeway, Justin co-founded a vacation rental agency in Maine called On the Water in Maine. And listen to this, he grew the company into the highest grossing vacation rental agency in New England. A former member of the U.S. Coast Guard and a firefighter for 15 years, Justin travels worldwide to share his industry expertise. So Justin, please, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. That's a great intro. And I'll echo what you were sharing earlier. You guys look fantastic with your new headsets on.
Yes. We're doing a Zoom call with Justin so he can
share in our joy.
Yeah. Because in 2020, this is our goal. We're going to start videoing our podcast too to share with everybody.
Yes.
So that's it. Let's do a little bit of backstory on how Justin became a guest on the show today. I met Justin about a month or two ago at the Verbo conference, and I just started chatting with him and learned about what he does and quite honestly was blown away. Started just kind of taking me through safety and educating me on some of the safety hazards. And I was like, wait a second. Sarah and I like to toot our horns that we have this
safety amateurs
all about educating hosts and offering the best possible experience for guests. And there is this whole pillar that I don't want to say I've like had a blind eye to, but I haven't paid attention to it. So I'm just going to put that out there. It's something that I knew, like Sarah just said, yes, I have smoke detectors. Yes, I have a fire extinguisher, but that is like bare minimum, just the beginning. And, you know, Sarah and I have smaller properties, mostly one or two bedrooms. So, you know, really haven't thought larger scale of front porch, back porch, lawns, hammocks, boats,
decks.
all of the things that could truly go, you know, go on in a property. So came back from the Vrbo event after having my eyes, you know, wide open, and chatted with Sarah, and we had a call with Justin, and we're like, wait a second, this really needs to be a part of how we educate our listeners. So Justin's going to be on the show often, and he is always at the forefront of what's going on in safety. So today, this first episode, we're just going to kind of go over some background of why safety needs to be at the top of the list while you're having guests in your home.
Justin, maybe start with, why do you think safety is overlooked by owners, by hosts, by property managers? Why isn't this the number one thing you take into consideration when you're even thinking about starting a short-term or vacation rental?
You know, and I appreciate that. It's a great question to start off with, but I also want to quickly disclose, before we get listeners start to tune out hearing the word safety, I promise that everything I will talk about is not boring. I have yet to encounter anybody who has said, wow, your safety presentation is boring. And I realize I'm sounding a little like I'm tooting my horn there, but I know that safety can be a boring topic, which also kind of gets into your question. So first and foremost, I just want to make sure that people hear that. And secondly, I promise that within the first 5 to 10 minutes here, I'm going to say something that's going to save somebody's life or prevent somebody from a serious injury. So don't tune out just because you hear safety and smoke detectors, blah, blah, blah.
No, and I second that, because we, like Sarah and I would not, I mean, it was right out of the gate. We need to have, like, one episode is not going to do what we needed to do. So you will not be bored. I mean, I talked to Justin several times a day at the Vrbo event, and I was never bored with any of the knowledge that he was giving me. So I second that our listeners definitely will want to tune in.
And it's just it's part of your job. I mean, not everything, we're all hosts because we love doing it, and it's our dream job, and we feel very lucky and fortunate that technology has brought short-term stays to the Midwest and to places that aren't vacation spots. But with that comes a lot of responsibility, listeners. So I don't know, on the small chance you find this boring, just, you got to stick with this. This is part of your responsibility. So Justin, go ahead. So
yeah. So, you know, there's a saying, the quote that I live by, and it really addresses safety, and that is, complacency is devastating. And I think about that all the time. And I think it's one of the most important things to think about as a host of a short-term rental. But it's also the reason why safety is overlooked. We're comfortable. We're setting up our homes to rent, and it's a home. It's where we've grown up. The first place most human beings go after the hospital when they're born is to the home, and they grow up in that home and they're comfortable in it. It's a bedroom. It's a window. It's a couch. You're just familiar with all these items. And where we become complacent and why safety is just so overlooked is, you just assume everybody else knows the home and everybody else is from a home. And that's true, but they're not familiar with your way of living in your home. And it's just an easy thing to think about is, when you go over to your friend's house and you can't find a fork or a knife because it's not in the drawer where you would put it if it was your house. And you're thinking about, well, the glasses are to the left of the sink. At my house, they're to the right. But okay, if that's what you want to do. And if you think about it at that level, that's how much safety is overlooked, because people look at things so much differently based on their own home. So yeah, what you said, Sarah, is absolutely true. You're taking in people into a house that they're not familiar with. They don't know anything about it. They don't have any of the same interests possibly as you do. They might have just rented the house because it's on the lake. They didn't rent the house because you know, it's got 3 bathrooms and 2 bedrooms and a deck. And you've got a lot of responsibility to make sure that the guests have a safe stay while they're there.
Absolutely. And do you think, I know the answer to this, but I just want listeners to think about this. Is this something that the everyday host, homeowner, who's maybe not a professional property manager, can they learn what it takes to make their property as safe as possible for all guests?
Absolutely. This is probably the most solvable problem in vacation rentals. And I challenge someone to come back. I mean, it's so hard to figure out pricing, competitive. What do I need to do that makes my house more marketable than another one? It's hard to figure out which sheets you want to get, which towels you want to get, 300 count, 400. There's so many different variables and questions out there. But if there's one thing about offering your home that you can do that's a solvable problem, and that is you can make it as safe as you possibly can. Now, we can't make it so that somebody from a medical issue is going to collapse and fall down the stairs, and we can't guide a cutting knife down onto a cutting board and make sure they don't cut their finger open. But all the tools and all the best demonstrated practices are there to ensure that someone walks into your home, won't get injured, and this may sound extreme, but you're going to get to know this throughout episodes with me, won't die. And unfortunately, there are people dying in vacation rentals in the U.S. more than a lot of people would probably like to know.
Is it expensive to make your home as safe as possible?
No, not at all. It obviously depends on the size, and there's lots of cool tools that are out there. But it's more just taking the time. It's a time-intensive thing to set your house up to be safe the first time. But beyond a few of the tools, and I'm talking about fire extinguishers and smoke detectors, most of it is all just common sense, setting things up properly and thinking about placement of things.
I think, and I mean, everyone can correct me that's on the call right now. Right now, when you list on Airbnb, for instance, I'm pretty sure, to me, what seems to be the safety questions that they ask are, do you have smoke detectors and carbon monoxide? And I'm pretty sure that you can list even if you don't have those.
They will notify the guest if they don't.
Right. It's not even required. And then I don't even think it says, and Justin, you would know this a lot better than myself, of how many smoke detector should be per square footage, or, you know, is one carbon monoxide detector enough? And the airing of the show, there was actually a pretty big scare to a celebrity recently over a holiday.
Yes, Anna Faris.
Yeah. Her and her whole family were eating dinner and they fell ill, and it was a carbon monoxide issue in a vacation rental. So it is kind of top of mind, since obviously a celebrity put it out in the news. But that, to me, is the baseline that short-term rental sites are asking for. Do you know any other things when people are trying to list? Do you two know of anything else that they're even asking safety-wise, or what else we should be looking out just when we're simply listing out of the gate?
Yeah, and that's a big challenge. You know, and you referenced Airbnb, and certainly we can talk about Vrbo as well. Just to hone in and fine-tune a little bit more on Airbnb. As a professional who looks at safety, I'm quite frustrated by the number of options that they let you do. And in fact, to be an Airbnb Plus home, which includes this 100-point inspection where they come in and check everything, that's still all they're checking. And even then, they're not checking the right information on that. So just because a house is Airbnb Plus and has passed their safety test, to me, means nothing, unfortunately. There's not a lot of opportunity to list that. Vrbo's a little bit better about listing safety features and kind of goes a little bit beyond smoke and CO detectors. But there's a huge opportunity to put that information in. And really, I think it all needs to be consolidated as a package, just saying, hey, we've met basic short-term rental certification, which would include many of these different things. Because the reality is, and this is a big takeaway, number one, right off the bat for all your listeners, people aren't dying and getting injured despite what happened with Anna Faris from smoke, fire, and carbon monoxide poisoning in vacation rentals. That's a small, small percentage, like less than 3%. The number one cause of injury in vacation rentals is trips and falls. And we know that. We know that just in your own home. You're much more likely to be injured from a trip and fall in your own home. Now you're putting somebody who's not familiar with a home in a different home, setting them up with different traffic patterns, loose carpets, all these different things, much more likely for a trip and fall incident. And yet that's not on the checklist. It's mind blowing to someone like me who looks at these things, that why isn't it marked that we've identified trip and fall hazards in the house and just assume that there's a smoke and CO, since that's minor.
Right. Mm-hmm. Sounds like there's an opportunity then for us hosts to take responsibility. And we have a decent amount of real estate on our listings to add our own description. And so you could even have a whole paragraph or more that says, you know, safety requirements we've implemented in our short-term rentals, you know, and then enlist them all. As you listen to these episodes with Justin, listeners, maybe you can like take stock of all the things we talk about and then just add it to your listing. And if a potential guest reads the description, like, you know, they usually do, and they see that, they might feel like, wow, this host really is taking my safety in consideration. And, you know, it might even be another great way to attract someone to stay with you.
Right.
And my hope is that people don't enter and encounter safety the way that I did, the way that I got started with an interest in safety and short-term rentals, because that is not the right way to get started. And that's the hope of this focus today, is at least that we can introduce people to that and get them thinking about things.
Yeah. Why don't you talk to us about your background and why this has become your life mission to share all that you know. And just so listeners know, we are going to get into specifics about different safety things you can do, and that's going to come with future episodes coming very shortly. But we just want you to get to know Justin and why this is so important. So Justin, why is this your goal in life?
So as you referenced, I started a vacation rental company in Maine, and started with my own home, renting out my own home for a number of years, did the whole deal with my ex-wife, where basically we showed up on Saturday and she cleaned and I mowed the lawn, and we turned it over, rushed between 10 and 4 o'clock. And it wasn't long before a neighbor said, "Hey, you guys seem to be doing good with that. Can you help me with mine?" And before you knew it, I was managing over 300 vacation rental homes. So it grew very quickly from where I started or ever intended to be. It's a hobby. And I think that's, you know, the example for most people. But it wasn't until I was into it for a number of years, and at the same time was a firefighter in my local community on a volunteer basis. I had a call at one of my vacation rentals as a firefighter once. That's kind of an alarming thing. It certainly surprised the guests to see me show up where I'd been wearing my company logoed gear when I'd stopped by the day before to change batteries in the smoke detector. And now I was showing up driving a fire truck in my full turnout gear. But they had not connected, they hadn't connected the gas grill tank properly back when they switched the propane tanks out. And it had a flame out and it caught the whole side of the grill on fire. Their food was all burned, and it melted a card table that was next to it, which, by the way, the renters were not supposed to bring that card table outside. So I caught them doing that. But that was kind of my first one. And it was more at that time, more of a, wow, I got a call to one of my rental properties, more than it was an aha moment of, wow, that was pretty dangerous. What the heck are the renters doing? How did they not know how to connect a propane tank? And as I look back now, I go, well, wait a minute. There's a lot of people out there that don't have gas grills that don't necessarily know how to do it. And as simple as it may seem to me, I've changed out 100,000 propane tanks. I'm exaggerating, obviously, in my life. But I mean, it's happened many times. But there are actually people out there that have no idea how to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
The threads go. Yeah. So, you know,
just put that out
that
there.
That kind of led in. That was kind of my first eye-opening, but the one that really changed everything for me, had a vacation rental where I was not the agent as far as managing the home. We just marketed the home to rent it out. We put it on our website and listed it. And I went over to take a quick look at it at the beginning of the season, day before the renters were due to come in, just to make sure the homeowner had done what he was supposed to do. And they hadn't. They were supposed to put all the furniture out for the season out on the deck, and it was all still in the porch, packed away for the winter. And so I called the homeowner, and he said, "Oh yeah, my caretaker was supposed to do that, and he didn't have time. So can you handle it?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, fine." So I dragged all of it out, and there was two hammock stands. I'm talking about those L.L. Bean style metal hammock stands that are one big bar across the middle and then two bars come up at an angle.
Oh, yeah.
And then the hammock hangs in between. And then there's these little metal S-hooks on either end that connect the chain into the metal. So there were two of them, and I put them both out and didn't think anything more of it, and skedaddled. Well, 2 days later, I got a phone call, and at the same time heard on my fire pager as a firefighter that there was a request to set up a landing zone for the Life Flight helicopter. And in Maine, that's what they call the air ambulances, Life Flight. And they require fire department assistance to set those up when there's not a landing field nearby. So I started to respond to the call as a firefighter to set up this landing zone. And my phone was buzzing away, and I quickly checked that and realized that the accident where the ambulance was going was also the address of that vacation rental. And so I diverted and went there. Trust me, we had other firefighters that were able to set up the landing zone, so I didn't abandon that. But when we got there, we realized a heavyset woman had plopped down into one of those hammocks that I had dragged out. And the F-hook had gone through the corroded steel on the stand and had become a projectile well over 100 miles an hour.
Oh, no.
And it fractured her skull.
Oh, my God.
And I check in sometimes with the family. I haven't probably in the past year, probably should sometime again soon, because I do think of her often and certainly talk about her in my safety stuff. But she was permanently brain damaged as a result of that. She has a difficult time speaking, and it fractured her skull and went in. And the first thought that I had was, you know, I better call the homeowner. He's going to have an insurance problem. And obviously I was concerned about the well-being of the family and did my diligence as a human being and as a business owner to, you know, make sure that they were accommodated for and needs a ride to the hospital, that kind of stuff. But it was the phone call of the homeowner that was a really big, big one for me. And it took me 6 months to fully understand what that call meant. But when I called him and told him, he said, "Well, this is your fault." I said, "Whoa, how's this my fault?" He said, "You better call your insurance company, buddy. This has nothing to do with me." And I said, "Wait a minute. How's this on me? This is your house, your hammock." I sat that way for about 6 months and, through a lot of legal fees that my company paid, probably close to $60,000 in legal fees. We finally got everything shifted over that it was the homeowner's insurance responsibility. But what changed over 6 months for me as it kept resonating was the realization, back to what you said, Sarah, in the beginning, and that was on me. I was the last one at that property. I put those hammocks out. I told those people who paid me money, not the homeowner, they paid me money. But obviously it could go the other way if they'd rented directly from the homeowner, that was on me to make sure that when they sat in that hammock, it was going to be safe. And what I didn't know was that the reason there were two hammocks is they knew that one of those was corroded and bad. And just the homeowner not thrown away, or his caretaker hadn't thrown away the old one. And there was the new one. And I'd put them both out there. And if I had just popped into it, I would have easily seen how corroded the metal was and that wasn't a safe hammock. And it was after that, as I said, it took a few months to realize it, but it came to me that, you know, the buck stops here. You know, everything I do, everything I set up at a vacation rental for someone to come enjoy the home and have a nice vacation is set up with a trust that chair on the porch, that hammock on the deck, that grill on the porch, that couch in the living room, when I sit down, is not going to break or have some defect with it that's going to affect, you know, my health.
That, Sarah and I have been quiet. I didn't know these stories at all.
Gosh.
So I just want to say one thing about what Justin just said. And Sarah and I have talked about this on previous episodes. That is why, like, thrifting certain things in your home, we are so against it, because you don't know what that couch, you know, have things been repaired? Has that, you know, furniture, when it comes to furniture, I've always bought mine brand new, because you just, whether it's, you know, bed bugs, or Justin saying maybe there is something credit that someone was probably getting rid of that for a reason, and we don't know those reasons. So that safety can kind of go back layers, and even just for indoor furniture also. And so we recommend purchasing that stuff brand new, so you know the history, even if it's like, let's say it's a kitchen, something in your kitchen also. I think knowing the history of a product that's going to be in your short-term rental or vacation rental is really, really important.
Right. Well, and this too, Justin, you make a good point. Annette and I actually just launched our first 4-week coaching course on how to start a co-hosting business. And like you said earlier, Justin, the easy stuff is figuring out pricing and how to, you know, having your lawyer draw up an LOA and like all those things. But as a co-host and you're managing someone else's property, you know, like, where is that line? I'm sure it's very, very gray on what is your responsibility and what is the property owner's responsibility. And so you need to make sure that if you're the last one in there, that things are buttoned up and that you understand everything that's in that property too, like the back of your hand. So it's not just, you know, that's why I get so frustrated with these, you know, companies that virtually manage these properties. And it's like, I just hope they have someone that they trust to go in them and understand what's happening in them and has a good, third party to vet the space. But Justin, since we want this to be our intro episode with you and just really getting our listeners in that headspace of we're going to be, even though it's an uncomfortable topic, we're going to be reintroducing this into our show periodically. Is there anything else we should talk about now in this introductory episode before we get into more specifics, what guests can do, what hosts can do to better suit their space?
I just want to kind of summarize from there where things progressed and where safety has kind of come out and why it hasn't been addressed in short-term rentals.
Please.
Not long after that incident happened, the state where I was, Maine, decided from pressure from the hotel organization in Maine, which was called the Maine Innkeepers Association. I think they're now the Maine Innkeepers and Restaurants Association. But they, like other hotel groups around the U.S., have felt very threatened by short-term rentals and their presence. And there's definitely always going to be a little bit of a battle, I think, there. Interestingly, we all know that now those hotel chains are getting into short-term rentals with Marriott and Wyndham and everybody entering the fray. But at that time period, 2013, they were seeing their stays go down. And there was a 17-bedroom short-term rental at a ski resort in Maine, Sunday River, that was the same size as a local motel in town. And the local motel saw their business dropping dramatically, and school groups that were coming for ski races were staying at this 13-bedroom home instead. And there was no cap. They were putting just people on bunk beds in the place all through it. And the motel owner made a very good point. They said, I'm spending all this money for licenses, inspections. My pool water has to be tested. I have to do all this stuff. I'm spending thousands and thousands of dollars a year for inspections by the fire department, licensing, and all this stuff. And I no longer am getting the business I got because this vacation rental, short-term rental up the road opened, and they don't have to have any inspections. They don't have to have anything checked on. And they're just able to go about what they're doing. And so they got the ear of their local legislator, who then submitted a bill before the Maine state legislature that said, all right, we want all vacation rentals in the state of Maine, short-term rentals, everything, to now be inspected, have sprinkler systems. It really went very extreme. And it was at that point I got involved on a state level. Obviously, that would have killed our business because most of the cottages in Maine that are being offered for rent are antique. Some of them are built in the 1800s. You're not going to put a sprinkler system in.
No, right.
And it was then that I started looking around for, and everybody did, for safety checklists. And we couldn't find any. And we started talking to fire chiefs in certain towns in Maine where vacation rentals were popular, and they're sitting down with a book called NFPA 101, National Fire Protection Association 101. That's kind of the guideline. And anytime you look at these books or the International Building Code books, all of them said these safety regulations only apply to everything but single family homes. So they said, well, I've got no enforcement. And so as we started looking around, we found that the only thing that was out there really was an incident that happened in Colorado. And I like to refer to that incident as the very first incident that started safety and vacation rentals in the U.S. And it happened in 2008. The Loughran family, and if your listeners want to Google this, there's the Loughran Foundation. And this was started because a family stayed in a vacation rental in Aspen, Colorado, and they stayed over Thanksgiving. And the home was relatively new. It had driveway heaters, and they had the boilers that were installed in there were run on natural gas, and they unfortunately didn't have good venting. And the entire family passed away because of carbon monoxide poisoning, similar to what could have happened to Anna Ferris and her family. And there were no CO detectors in their in this vacation rental. And so they passed, the Loughran family got together, the ones that obviously hadn't deceased, and created the Loughran Act, which then created the requirement for carbon monoxide detectors to be in all homes in the state of Colorado. And now that law, that same law has been duplicated and copied. And in all 49 states except Hawaii, carbon monoxide detectors are required in homes. There's not a lot of enforcement for it, but it's really interesting to note that the reason we have those today is because of an incident that happened in a short-term rental. And so there wasn't a lot of information. And so I just kind of took my firefighting, my property management, and my time in the Coast Guard doing boating safety. And I said, well, someone needs to build a checklist and come up with something as a reference for everybody. So I did that. And nobody else has challenged me on it yet. And so that's what we've got.
Awesome. I mean, yeah. Yeah, Sarah and I are like, feel like we've been punched in the gut, but that's in a good.
In a good way.
Good
I
way.
Mean, I just don't want it. Listen, hosting's fun. I love it. It's my dream job. We're having a great time, but it's just, it's a lot of responsibility.
Do you know what? It's besides that checklist, and can we make, do you have that checklist available? Is it something we can make available for our listeners or?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can work on that.
I'll get you guys a checklist so you can can share that. And part of what I do at Breezeway, little sales plug, obviously, is if people complete the checklist, you know, for a small amount of money, we'll certify that they've done it.
Okay.
And that's what our focus is doing, is saying, giving people recognition that they can market with. Because, you know, and we'll get into this in other episodes. I can't wait for the episode. This will be a little teaser. But safety sells. And I have proof to show that you can get more money and more bookings by having a safer rental than
others. All right. I'm going to declare it right now. I own and I manage, and they will all be safety certified, because I'll be damned if, you know, something doesn't happen. I didn't do everything I could to be the best host I could be.
So we'll make sure to link to the checklist, and then also link to Justin's company. My last question, though, because this is what really got me thinking. As a guest, how do we protect ourselves? Not just as hosts, but as guests. Like now I'm like, wait, I'm staying in someone's vacation. Like, how do I know what the last time they checked their smoke detectors? Or how do I locate the carbon monoxide? Maybe we'll do a whole episode on
the guest side.
The guest, how they can make sure when they walk a property, when they first check in, to say, hey, it seems like this person is you know, paying attention to the property, or how can I make sure that those things are actually operable and functioning? Especially if I'm going to, it's not just me, if it's me and, you know, plus one or plus 10 people, make sure it's safe. So maybe we'll just save that for another episode, Justin, and talk about
guests. Yeah, absolutely. That'll be exciting. And, you know, we just, you may, when we talked earlier, I can't remember if I shared, but we just did a segment with the Today Show, Consumer Reports with Breezeway, my company, where we counseled them. And then my boss was on the Today Show doing exactly that, showing what guests need to look for. So it is out there.
Okay.
And it's something that a lot of guests are concerned about now, because there is a lot of media attention to it.
Sure. If we can, we'll link to that segment in the show notes if that's available out there. That way, listeners, if you want to watch that.
Okay,
that would be great. Okay, so this is not the end of the conversation.
Yeah, we're just getting started. But Justin, where can our listeners find you if they want to reach out to you and your organization, or have questions, or just want to say, hey, awesome episode?
Yeah, that's great. So Breezeway.io, Breezeway is a technology company, so they put the .io on there, is where the safety, we have a safety page on the website. And of course, I have a Facebook page called Dwell Safe. Dwell Safe is a more universal branding of what safety guidelines we believe should be out there for short-term and long-term rentals. So they can certainly follow there, or on LinkedIn as well, and on Instagram. On Instagram, I like to post photos of properties that aren't safe and play a little Where's Waldo and have people try and identify things that aren't safe in the pictures.
Yeah, I've been following that on LinkedIn. It is pretty fun, actually.
Justin, really quick, just to give our listeners another incentive, maybe, I don't know. If they become certified via the checklist and the fee, is there any sort of break in their insurance or any other incentives like that?
Yeah, and so that's really good to know. And I'll have to share with you at some point my friends over at Proper Insurance. Mm-hmm. And there are, just to be not so exclusive or inclusive, is there's a lot of insurance companies in the industry right now that are focusing just on insuring vacation rentals. That's all they do. And if you haven't gotten a quote or talked to them, it's very important. CBiz is another company that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Companies like State Farm, Allstate, you know, they certainly do insurance for vacation rentals, but that's not their core business. And so some of these companies that are out there now, like Proper Insurance, do exclusively that. And they are giving discounts on their premiums if they've passed our safety certification.
Cool.
And yeah. That's pretty exciting because in most cases, the discount more than pays for the safety certification, but also really gets that short-term vacation rental homeowner in a position where they are being protected for things they never even thought of.
Yes.
And I'll enlighten you we'll tease that out for future episodes as
yes.
well.
Awesome. And to listeners, just so you know, I actually use Proper Insurance for my personal short-term rentals and they are great. And no other, you know, like you said, State Farm has been able to even come close to what Proper can offer me because they just know they get what short-term rentals are. Justin, real quick, I know you're not an insurance guy technically, but I want listeners to be thinking about insurance because I can't tell you how many times I ask people when I go to onboard them. They're like, no, there's the, you know, $1 million Airbnb policy. What do you think about that versus looking into like something like Proper Insurance? I mean, you agree with me that you need something else on top of what these platforms are offering.
Yeah. All your listeners have to do is Google the incident that's happened this past year, 2019, in California, where the vacation rental home burned down. And the only way that those homeowners were finally able to get Airbnb to pay, and we don't know how much Airbnb finally paid out, was after they took it to the local media that Airbnb wasn't paying. And the renters had been smoking out on the deck before the fire. There's question whether or not there was some electrical issues with the house. They don't ultimately really know what happened that burned the home down, but just the fact that there was a question out there was forcing that position where Airbnb was saying, look, you know, it may have been the renter smoking, but let's go to the homeowner's policy first because it may have also been an electrical issue.
Mm-hmm. True.
And right. A lot of these short-term rentals are in areas and communities that are, you know, we're not talking downtown Boston where there's 20 ladder trucks right nearby.
Right.
We're talking areas where a fire department can take 10 to 15 minutes just to get the volunteers to the station to then respond to the call. And if there's one common theme that I see with vacation rental fires is that usually the homes are burned right to the ground. It's very difficult once these fires get going, especially in non-sprinkled short-term rental properties, it's mainly just try and protect outbuildings and make sure the fire, you know, doesn't spread, but they're burning to the ground, which makes it really hard to investigate and find the core. And when that happens, you're going to run into the same situation that homeowner in California did, where we don't know how it burned. So why should Airbnb mm-hmm. be the one paying $1 million
right.
for this?
Sure. You know, I'm not mad that I appreciate all the layers that are offered to me as a host, but I just want our listeners to hear it from someone other than me, because I feel like I preach just a lot that you have to have something above and beyond what these platforms are offering. But okay, I don't want to beat a dead horse. We're going to have you back. Justin, thank you so much for your time today. And listeners, you know,
we're just getting started with our safety.
Don't be mad at us. This is necessary.
It is. It's so necessary.
All right. Well, I'm Sarah.
I'm Annette. And we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for this episode at thanksforvisiting.me. If you're looking to take your listing to the next level and show your guests how much you care, be sure to check out our line of thoughtful hosting products, from hosting checklists to custom mugs to toilet paper stickers. We've got you covered. And if you love our show, remember, sharing is caring. Please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Thanks for visiting.
Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.